Hey everybody, I'm Matthew Alaria, and you're watching the Faith for Life broadcast. We're coming to you today from inside the sanctuary at North Smoke Church, and we are so glad that you're joining us. Now, in the next three episodes of the broadcast, we're going to be airing a message that we did a while back called The Life of the Flesh. Now, this message was from our series called Peace and Joy in the Holy Ghost. And in this message, we're going to be learning about how the health of the inner man actually affects the health of our physical body. In Proverbs 14, it says that a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. And so when you and I yield to things like fear, sorrow, anger, it actually affects our physical body in a negative way. But when we walk in peace and joy, it actually affects our body in a positive way. Now, on today's episode, we're going to be learning about the emphasis that God places on peace and joy. You know, in Romans 14, it says that the kingdom is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so God places great emphasis on you and I walking in peace and joy because it has a multitude of other effects in our lives. Friend, this was such a powerful message, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Let's watch part one right now.
Father, we do thank you today, Lord, for your word. We ask you today for revelation of it. We ask you today for grace and help to receive it, to put it into practice, to see it work in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for utterance, anointing, revelation for this portion of the service. Lord, we just thank you that you're directing this part of the service, speaking to us, ministering to us, getting us exactly what we need. And we do thank you for it in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Romans 14, and let's look here at verse 1. It says, him that is weak in faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Verse 2, for one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats only herbs or vegetables. Somebody said, maybe that's why he's weak, because he doesn't eat any meat. That's not what it's talking about. But verse 3 says, let not him that eats despise him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats. For God has received him. What was going on here is that, and I don't know if I said this right earlier in the series, so, listen closely. Jewish people in the day had lived under the law. And they had lived under the law forever. This is how their grandparents lived, their parents, and this is how they lived. And the law forbidded them to eat certain kinds of meats. Meats were deemed either clean or unclean. And the law also told them to celebrate certain kinds of days. Feast tabernacles and harvest moons and things like this. And when Jesus came, he liberated God's people from the law. And there were some in the church here that had caught hold of that, that we are free from the law. And so they started going, we can eat whatever we want to eat. We're free to eat as we choose. And the days that we were required that we observed as holy and things like that, we don't have to do that anymore. In a sense, we treat every day as holy unto the Lord. And they were free and excited about it. But then they saw some people who weren't eating the meats like they were, didn't see what they saw, and they started sticking their nose up at those that didn't have revelation they had. Despise means you think you're better than them. You look down on them. And why? Because we have revelation that you don't have. So you know what? We're better than you. We're up here, you're down there. That's what despising is. And then the ones that were convicted about eating these meats, they thought their heart bothered them. They had been practicing this their whole lives, their ancestors did, and they thought, man, I just can't get past this. You know, we weren't supposed to eat that before. I feel like if I eat that now, it's going to bother my heart. You know, these days we were required to celebrate, we've been celebrating that our whole lives for hundreds of years, our ancestors did, and now we don't have to. And they would think about not doing it, and they would be like, I don't know. And Scripture called them weak in faith. And those people that weren't eating and that were still celebrating the days, they started judging the ones that were eating. Those carnal people, I can't believe they'd eat that meat. They know good and well the law says you're not supposed to eat that. Look at them. They're out there just acting like this is a normal day. It's a special day. They're just treating it like it's nothing. And they started to judge this other group. Verse 4 says this, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. What's he saying? You're not their master. They're not your servant. Stop judging them. And then what he starts ministering on in verse 5, he says, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let everyone be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse 6 says, he that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. He that regards not the day, he does not regard, regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives thanks. And what he's saying is, everybody needs to do what they're convicted about in their own heart to do when it comes to these issues. Because there was some ambiguity about this. I mean, now that you're saved, does that mean you have to eat all meats? Now that you're saved, does that mean you can't celebrate days? And so what he's saying is stop judging and despising each other. Each person should check the word. Each person should check their own heart. And then they should make sure that what they're doing it because they believe that's what the word says and that's what God's leading them to do. Do it as unto the Lord. But they wanted to fix their neighbor. You should do what I do. Why? Well, because I'm right, obviously. And you're wrong. on issues that the Scripture is not plain about, like whether or not you should wear a mask. See, some people, when it was mask wearing time, they got on their high horse about wearing masks, and they thought, preachers were doing teachings on mask wearings. Well, how do you know whether or not it's right for me to wear a mask? Do you have a verse that says, thou shalt wear a mask? You don't know that. And so if I feel convicted about wearing one, that I should, and that's what I feel like God's leading me to do, can I do it and be unbothered by you? Huh? Now, if you're going into somebody else's place, like we talked about, it's their place. You should do what they ask you to do. It's not your place, it's their place. See, this one, everybody stop saying amen on this stuff. Because people got in the flesh over masks and over vaccines. Each one trying to force its own conviction on another. And I don't care about the world. They're ignorant, they're going to act ignorant. I'm talking about this going on in the church. And is the kingdom of God about masks and vaccines?
No.
But for a while there, that was everybody's world. And there was judging and despising, and the church hadn't changed a whole lot, has it? The flesh is still the flesh, isn't it? And so what you see going on here, and it doesn't have to be about those things. It can be about a bunch of different other things. Right? And just skip down here. Verse 10 says, but why do you judge your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another that often. You shouldn't judge each other this often. Is that what it says?
Nope.
Try to cut back on your judging a little bit. You're at a scale of 10. Let's try to cut it back to an 8 this week. No, he says, let us not judge one another anymore. That means quit it forever. Is God giving you any leeway on this judging thing? And then the scripture talks about, don't speak evil of any man. Jesus said in John 12, he said, if somebody doesn't believe my words, I don't judge him. And so how about even the world? Should you judge and despise them? Doesn't mean you can't say this is right and this is wrong. As a believer and as a church, we're the pillar of truth in the earth. We need to be standing up saying this is right, this is wrong. But I'm not judging people and what they're doing. I'm saying this is right and this is wrong. Ultimately, they can do what they want. It's going to be between them and God. That's what this verse is saying. They'll have to stand before God for it. I don't need to judge them. That time's coming. But as the church, we decide, according to the word, what's right and wrong. And we are the pillar of that in the earth. Do you need to stop judging and despising people? Praise God. Do you need to stop this?
Yes.
What about people that you just think are the most wicked people on the planet? Do you need to judge and despise them?
No.
You can be 100% against what they're doing, but don't judge them and despise them. That's not your job. They'll stand before God for it, so just let it be. Thank you for your enthusiasm about these verses. I appreciate it. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not, it's not meat and drink. But what is it? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, what they had done is they had made the kingdom. They had made this issue about meats and days. They had made, this is the kingdom here. They had made the kingdom about this issue, and God by His Spirit's going, the kingdom ain't about meat and drinking and days. And we talked about this last week. Do you and I have to be on guard against overemphasizing something that's not even important to God? Can you do it? They did it. And the whole time they're doing it, do you know they're convinced that meats and days are important to God? They're persuaded it is. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so dogged about it. And can you and I think something's important to God that God goes, man, I don't even really care about that? And then God's over here going, this is really, really important. And you're going, oh, that ain't that important. This is what's important. Can it happen?
Yes.
We need to be on guard about this, don't we?
Yes.
And what did God say was important? He said, what's important is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what the kingdom is about, not meats and drinks. How much righteousness is going on when they're judging and despising each other?
None.
How much peace is in this, judging and despising? None. And how much joy is in this judging and despising? And so they've sacrificed what actually was important to God for something that wasn't important to Him at all. Do we need to be on guard against this? So he said, how do I make sure I don't overemphasize something that isn't important and vice versa? You stick close to the book, right? And you check your heart and you seek God and you humble yourself, right? And you go, Lord, help me because I can miss it. I can miss it, so I need your help. And would He help you? He would help you, wouldn't He? I like this in some other translations. The ICB says, in the kingdom of God, eating and drinking are not important. This is the ICB. The important things are living right with God, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. What are the important things? Living right with God and peace and joy. Peace and joy is important to God.
Amen.
Now, righteousness, this needs to be reiterated. When God says righteousness is important, that's not you forcing somebody else to live righteously that doesn't want to. Did you hear me?
Yes.
We said righteousness is important, so we're gonna just make all these sinners live right. Good luck. No, sinners and the world are just that, and so that they're going to sin and act like the world. Yes. Righteousness is you being right with God and you doing what's right before Him, which we can start with just stop judging and despising. Start right there. What else is important? Peace. Peace means quietness, rest, tranquility, and joy. Say joy. Joy. Joy means cheerful, calm delight, and to be glad. Is that important to God?
Yes.
That you walk around at peace, joy, and doing what's right.
Yes.
And can you do that no matter what's going on around you?
Yes.
And that's what's important to Him. The NIRV says this, God's kingdom is not about eating or drinking. It's about doing what's right and having peace and joy. It's about doing what's right and having peace and joy. Could that really be true? You see the significance that God places on peace and joy. He's telling you, this is what my kingdom's about. And what we got to be mindful of is, am I emphasizing peace and joy as much as He does? Because He said this is what the kingdom's about. And I don't think we are sometimes as much as we should. As quick as we are to get upset about stuff, it looks to me like we don't value peace and joy all that much at all. Right? I mean, just we'll let it go over what? Somebody taking your spot at Walmart? You're going to give up your peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You're going to let that go to get mad at the lady that pulled in front of you. I mean, if you value something, you won't let go of it that easy. Right? No, it'll take a lot more than that to get me to let go of my peace and joy. Huh? I mean, something silly like you and your wife not being able to decide where to go to dinner. Gonna lose it over that? Huh? See, when you begin to value it, you start going, no, I'm not getting upset over that. I'm not letting go of my peace. I'm not going to let go of what the kingdom's about. I don't know about you, but when I hear people talk about the kingdom or preach about the kingdom, I don't hear much about peace and joy. I hear a lot of other stuff, people preaching about the kingdom. Some of it's good. But rarely do I hear people say, man, the kingdom's about peace and joy. Well, that's a long way away from what they're thinking. Do we need to renew our minds to this reality? Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Everybody doing okay so far? The kingdom of God is the realm in that God rules over. It's His domain. It's the territory subject to Him. Do you hear me? The people in the territory that's subject to God, that territory, those people should be displaying some righteousness, some peace, and some joy. Right? If you're following Him and in His kingdom, and that's what His kingdom's about, then you'll be displaying some of that. Can you say, thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
And so we see God placing great significance on this peace and joy. And this is a theme that you see throughout other verses, throughout the Scripture. His priority. And prioritizing you walking in peace, you walking in joy. Philippians 4:6 says this. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. This is the King James Bible. The ISV says, never worry about anything. The Amplified Bible in Philippians 4:6 says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. How much leeway is God giving you on this being careful stuff?
None.
I mean, should you do this verse?
Yes.
I think you got to start back even more. Can you do it?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes.
Does God really expect us to do that? A lot of people think that ain't even possible. Really? It's not possible to do what God told you to do? No, when he told you to do it, that means you can do it. And so a lot of people don't even think it's possible, so they won't even try. I don't know about you, but I look at that verse and go, let's go. I might make some mistakes on the way, but saddle me up, man. I'm going for it. Be careful for nothing. Matthew 6:25 in the Amplified Bible, Jesus said this, stop being perpetually worried and anxious about your life. Stop it. Stop worrying. Yes. Say it with me, be careful for nothing. Yes. Let's just look at these on the screen together. Go to Philippians 4:4. Can you tell somebody who's really worried? Can you look at them and go, stop it? Now, I'm not telling you should do that. But do you need to hear that when you're worrying?
Yes.
Is that what Jesus said?
Yes.
They were worried and Jesus said, come on in. Let's have a counseling session about all your worry. Tell me all your worries. Just vent it to me. Because I love you. He sensed they were worried and he goes, quit. Quit it. Do you need to hear quit it sometimes? Praise God. Philippians 4:4 says this. Now you might want to write these down. What was the first one? Be careful for nothing. I'm going to give you three or four things here. How about Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice always.
Amen.
How much leeway is God giving you on not rejoicing? See, rejoice always, unless... rejoice always in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. I like Psalm 89:16 said that we would rejoice all the day. Say all the day.
All the day.
All the day. Rejoice. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 6. He said, we prove ourselves as ministers of God. And then in verse 10, he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He was saying one of the ways we prove that we are actually called of God is that when we feel sorrowful, you're going to see us rejoicing. James 1 said, when you fall into adversity, count it all joy. Luke 6, Jesus talked about when people hate you, rejoice. 1 Peter said, when you're suffering persecution and affliction, rejoice. 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 Can you say thank you, Lord?
Thank you.
Now, listen. Will you encounter some sorrow in this life?
Amen.
In the Phillips version of this verse, I believe it reads like this. We know sorrow, yet our joy is inextinguishable. What's he saying? We're not immune to feeling sorrowful sometimes. Particularly, man, if you get hit with a tough situation, you're going to shed some tears. Right? It's going to happen. But the question comes, how long can I sit here and do this? And it's not for you to decide for somebody else. You got to be directed to the Lord for yourself, and we're all different. And so don't judge anybody else. There's plenty on your plate to keep you busy. And as tough as it is, no matter how tough it is, it's not going to do you any good to sit there and be sad for years on end. The way to come out of it is with a tear coming down your face going, Lord. And he knows. Man, he said, I'm touched with the feelings of your infirmities. You don't think he knows? He knows it. And he's compassionate towards you. But he wants to get you out of it. And so he's going, come on, rejoice. Come on, come on, come on. And you'll have a tear down your face. You go, I choose to rejoice. And this is what happens. When Peter was in the boat walking on the water to go to Jesus. That didn't make sense, did it? I need to try that again. When Peter was in the boat. And Jesus said, he said, Jesus, that's you. Come, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus goes, come on then. Now, Jesus just told Peter to do something that man thinks is impossible. But in that word, to come, there is ability to do what the master said. Now, Peter can sit there in the boat and go, I know you said come, but that ain't possible. Walking on the water, I mean. And as long as he's sitting there doing that, he'll never tap the potential that is available to enjoy and do what the master said. And so he had to step out on something that seemed impossible. And when he acted on the words of the master and stepped, supernatural ability came on him to do what he thought was not possible. And so I don't deny, you know, people's sorrows or anxieties or depression. That stuff's real. But sitting in the boat is not how you're going to get over it. You're going to have to look at the words of the master when he said, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. You're going to have to go, okay, well, tears coming down my face, sadness all over me. I'm going to step out on that word and I'm going to start rejoicing.
Yes, that's right.
When I don't even know if it's possible. And I'm telling you, this is how you break out of.
Yes.
Because what's going to happen then is the power of God's going to come on you and give you ability to get over stuff you thought, I'll never get over this. Never be free from this. That first step can be a challenge. But just know this, when you step out, the master's out there going, come on, come on, come on out, come on out. Get out of the boat of depression. Get out of the boat of anxiety. Come on, rejoice. Don't be careful. I'm telling you, you step, you're going to go, I don't even know if this is possible. And it's going to come on you. You can be free. You can be free. And it's challenging at times. God will help you.
Oh, friend, wasn't that a powerful message? When I was studying on that and ministering on that, I was marked by the emphasis that God placed on us walking in peace and joy in our lives. And if He places that kind of emphasis on it, then we should too, praise the Lord. Hey, I want to take a second to invite you to join us here at North Smoke Church on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for one of our services. If you're hungry for the presence of God, if you're hungry for the Word of God, you will love it here at North Smoke. So you can go to northsmokechurch.com and click on the plan a visit link, and you can actually let us know you're coming. You can find out more information about our services. But friend, we'd love to have you sometime, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you for watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Go to mam.tv to download the free study notes from today's broadcast. You can also request your free copy of our mini book, Faith Declarations. In this book, you'll find declarations from the Word of God that will feed your faith and help you experience victory in your life. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook and Instagram.